good to hear from her. Betty doesn't always get to make it, you know, like most of us here, her health concerns, and sometimes they keep her from participating. I'm glad she's here today, and she's doing that. If you have your Bibles, we're heading back to Acts, okay? Acts chapter 8, if you remember where we left off, we had just finished with the stoning of Stephen. He had spoken out boldly, gave a testimony about Jesus Christ. They got mad because of what he said, and they took him out outside the city, and they stoned him. And that was kind of where we left, with the persecution of the church beginning. And we took a pause in there, celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ, and I hope that you guys enjoyed the Advent candles and the wreath and the thoughts that were focused on that. But we're going to get back on track now. Acts chapter 8. And I want to begin reading in verse 1. So let's start there. And Saul approved of their killing him, referring back to Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. And those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Let's pray. God, I just ask that as we spend a few moments thinking about your work in our lives, God, that you'll speak to our hearts. Give us the insight that we need in order that we might serve you better. In Christ's name. Amen. Now let's put things a little bit in context, okay, as we come to this point. You'll find, if you remember, that the church had gone through a time of revival, okay, if you want to put it that way. There had been a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. These great events had taken place. People had been receiving Christ. They were being baptized. They were being added to the church constantly. We had after Pentecost, we had Peter healing the lame beggar, and there was another revival. Another couple thousand people were added to the church, and there was great things going on. And the people, it says over and over again that the apostles, the Christians, they received favor with the people. They were welcomed, but not everybody was happy. Remember, what started happening was the apostles got arrested. They got taken before the Sanhedrin first, and they were questioned about healing this lame beggar, and all sorts of things were going on, and the Sanhedrin scolded them and said, "Don't tell about Jesus, okay?" Well, they said, "Who am I going to listen to? God or you? God or you? God," you know, and they said, "We're going to talk about God." So they went on and they preached about God some more. And they got arrested again, right? And they got thrown in jail. And this time, when they got released, they were flogged. Oh, it escalated a little bit. Remember that. And then following that, we have the instance with Stephen. Stephen was preaching. They questioned him. They arrested him. It says he was in dialogue. He was in the synagogue of the freemen, if you remember. And it's Cilicia. Okay, the people, the converts from the Hellenistic Jews that had come back from that area that were there, they had formed their little synagogue. And in that area, he had been preaching. Stephen had been arguing with them and showing, reasoning with them out of Scripture. And they got so upset at him because they couldn't prove him wrong. He kept telling them, pointing them to Jesus, and they said, no, you know. And finally, they took him out and had him arrested and put him before the Sanhedrin. And brought false accusations against him. Keep in mind that one of the few things that we know is that Saul, who's mentioned here, was part of that group, probably. He came from that region and was probably, we don't know that 100%, but he was probably a member of that synagogue which had that confrontation with Stephen. So he was arrested. Stephen was arrested. He was put on trial before the Sanhedrin. And after he gave testimony to them, told them about how Christ had come and was the fulfillment, even though they had rejected the prophets, rejected so many, he said, Christ is that fulfillment. They were in an uproar. They took him out and they had him stoned. And we remember what happened. And this is interesting when you look at who Saul was. If you look in chapter 7, verse 58, just a couple verses ahead, it says, they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats, where? At the feet of a young man named Saul. This is our first introduction to Saul. We're going to find out more about him. And I'm going to cut ahead because I'll know I'm going to make the mistake. But if you don't know this, Saul later becomes Paul. Okay? That's down the road. We're going to get to that. I'm going to fill in the details later. But I want you to know, because if I end up saying Paul, I want you to know I'm talking about this guy, Saul, this one guy. So Saul, now we're introduced to him. And we find, what is he doing there? He's standing there. He's not participating in the stoning, but as those that came to pick up the rocks and throw them at him, as they came, they laid their coats at his feet. So he wasn't there participating. He didn't join in the condemnation, but he was there. He was present with them, right? And we find again, then later it says, in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, and Saul approved of their killing him. So he went not just from standing by silently, just kind of a spectator on the sideline, to now we find that he was approving, right? He now approved of what they did. He considered that what they did was right, a right act, a right thing to do. And then we find later in verse 3 of chapter 8, it says, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged both men and women and put them in prison. So now Saul had moved from being on the sideline, standing back, to actually being there and condemning, joining in the condemnation of Stephen, to now he was going out and he was actively persecuting the church. Interesting progression, don't you think? I find it just kind of a strange thing that we see that kind of behavior. You know, David talked about the same thing. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 1. This is one of my favorite psalms. You know, and I try to remember it. You know, it's one of those ones that's easy to forget, but I try to remember it because of the way it says it. In Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, blessed is the man, or blessed is the one. And it goes on here, and it kind of turns that around and tells us the negative about it. It says, who does not. Okay, the way he's saying this, it's a little strange, but he says, blessed is the one who does not, look what he does, walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Do you notice that progression? First of all, he's talking about you don't. Blessed is the man who walks not. Okay, I memorized this in King James, so I'll probably just go back. Who walketh not in the counsel? Okay, who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked? Okay, blessed is that man. In other words, what he's saying is blessed is that person. The person, if you want to be blessed, then don't walk with those who are seeking wicked things. Don't walk and don't put yourself in their company, okay? But then the progression, it goes from being in their company to what? To standing there with them, okay? Kind of a look, you keep this in mind. One is walking along. You're walking as though you're on a journey and these are people that you're just kind of bumping into on the wall, on the way. You're free to go your own direction because you're still in motion. You're still going. But notice now we've stopped. And now we're standing. We're having that conversation. We're kind of enjoying each other's company now. We're sharing ideas and thoughts and in each other's company. And then he goes on one more step, and David says, or sits. And the idea behind this idea of sitting is now, okay, you've moved from just kind of a casual acquaintance to somebody maybe that you're doing business with to now you're one who sits in judgment. The idea is being at the city gates and you're with all the elders of the city and you're sitting with them and you're participating in the judgments that they make. You're participating with them. Your values have been intertwined, and you now share your time with them. You see, and I see that similarity there between him, between what David's describing here and what happened with Saul. He first was just kind of standing on the sideline. Then he was actively participating, and then he was out doing judgment. And isn't that the way sin is? Isn't that the way sin is in our lives? We let something come up and rub shoulders with us, and we go, oh, okay. We don't immediately rebuke it, okay? But we get a little comfortable with it. And then we walk a little bit longer, and then we're standing here, and we're starting to think about it, and we're starting to contemplate what that activity is, or we're doing that thing, and we're starting to allow that thing to take root in our heart, you know? And before we know it, we're sitting at the gates making judgment. We're participating in the wickedness, just like Saul did. And the challenge here is just what David says here. He says, but who's the, he replaces it. He says, the person who's blessed by God is not the one who does those things, but the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Now, I want to caution you here. We think about that and it says, oh, yeah, it means that we read our Bible or something, you know, and we have a little thing. It's not what he's saying. He says his delight is in the law of the Lord, okay? It's a little more intense than just, oh, yeah, I read my Bible on a daily basis. So oftentimes we pick up our Bibles, we read it, okay, we spend time with it, and we read right through it and fold it up and put it over on the night table or wherever we keep it, and that's where it stays. And we never allow that word to come in. What he's saying here is your delight. In other words, it's something that you treasure, it's something that you value, and you find that it brings joy. You take time to find it, and you allow it to guide your life because you're thinking about how God wants to change your life through the power of the Word. You're thinking about what God is saying to you about it, and it delights you when you have that encounter with God. He reveals himself to you, and you learn a new attitude. You learn how you need to change. Your delight is in God speaking to you, changing you. And it says he meditates. Guys, that word for meditation is deep, but here's the idea behind it. You're getting nourishment from it. You're so wrapped up with it. It's where you go for your source of strength. It's where you go for God to nourish your soul and to strengthen you. And so oftentimes, we don't do that. Instead, we walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We sit with the sinners, or we stand with the sinners and sit where we shouldn't, with people entertaining ideas and things that we shouldn't. And I understand. I understand how easy for that to do. But look at this. Here was Saul embracing these aspects. Look at the other people that it mentions in Acts. And you got to flip all the way back to Acts chapter 8 now. In verse 2, it says what? It's, I know, Nani, you got to keep up, okay? It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 2, it says, godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. Put Saul and what he was doing in contrast with these godly men. Because what? Yeah, it's more than they just went ahead and took care of Stephen and had a funeral for him. You know, what they did is they put their lives in jeopardy. Here's Stephen that just got stoned for his beliefs. Stephen who stood up against the Sanhedrin. Stephen who was condemned publicly. And Stephen was disgraced, in essence, in the eyes of the Jewish community. And yet, here are these men, these godly men, these Christians, who have shared their faith, who come up and find Stephen, take him out, and give him a burial. In doing so, they were identifying with him. They were willing to take a stand and say, I'm going to follow God. And they took that stand, and they made a public profession, and if you want to put it that way. We, and believe endorse this. We endorse Stephen. We endorse what he believes. And we are standing with him. And if you did, you know, the point was, is they could have equally, the Jewish community could have turned on them in every bit as much, in every bit the same way. In fact, it was frequently that those that were condemned publicly were not buried in that fashion because nobody, there was such disgrace with it, nobody wanted anything to do with them. But these godly men stood up, and even though Stephen had been publicly disgraced, publicly condemned, they took their stand with him. I have to half wonder sometimes, would I have been there with Saul standing to condemn? Would that be where I would have been? Or would I have been with the godly men who went and retrieved Stephen? Where would I have taken my position? Just a thought. Now, I want you to take just a moment as we continue to put all this into context of what's going on. Remember what had just happened. You know, because it's so important to understand the context spiritually speaking. It's one thing to understand this history part, okay? But let's go back even further and understand what was going on spiritually speaking. What happened 3 months ago? Actually, we don't know because we don't know exactly when this event took place. But don't forget that what happened very recently and what was going on was Christ had appeared on the scene, right? And there was a spiritual battle going on. Satan was trying to triumph over the work. Satan was trying to triumph over the work of redemption that God was trying to accomplish. Okay? And here you have Satan on one hand doing battle against God and Jesus Christ. Remember the temptation that Satan had gone. He tried to trick Jesus into accepting an easy way to get accomplished what he wanted. And Satan does that with us all the time. He tries to tell us ways to go other than the way God wants us to go. And that's what was going on. Satan had attempted that over and over again. And finally, Satan made a deal. He got Jesus crucified. Remember, on that cross, Jesus died. And Satan, who was the prince of this world, he thought he won at that point. Do you get that picture? He thought he won the spiritual battle that was going on. All right, I killed God. Whoa! Remember, he's up there dancing on top of the tomb, dancing, having a jig, and celebrating, saying, yes, I won, I won, I won, I beat God. He thought he was going to redeem the people, and I got Jesus, and I killed him. He's in the grip of death now. I got him. Until 3 days. And what happened? Boom! There was that, I don't know if it was a mighty explosion, there was a shining light, I don't know what happened. But the stone rolled away, and Jesus Christ, through the power of God, was resurrected. Isn't that exciting? And all of a sudden, Satan, who was dancing a jig and thought he'd won the battle, stopped. Oh no, I didn't win. So then, now we don't know everything that's going on, but you know, Jesus went to hell. He preached to the saints in hell, in Sheol, okay, the place of the dead, and he brought them back to redemption, and all that happened, and that was so exciting. And Jesus came back, and as he dwelt with his apostles for 40 days, remember all that was going on, he continued to teach them. Finally, he ascended up into heaven, and 10 days later, the Pentecost came. Holy Spirit came. And Satan's standing back and he's seeing the holy power of the Holy Spirit come down. And he's starting to see these people accept the grace of God. Oh, you mean the law that I had put them under, the chains that I had bound them with. He saw them falling off of people as God brought grace into people's lives. And he taught them about love and salvation. And he taught them that they no longer were bound. Yes, praise God, it's an exciting time. And Satan's sitting back, he's saying, oh no, what am I going to do? Okay, what am I going to do? And then what do we see happening as that's going on? We find the apostles getting arrested. Satan is trying to turn the hearts of the people. And he finds that he gets them arrested and he gets them scolded, remember, by the Sanhedrin. And then a little bit later, he gets them arrested again. And they're flogged. You see, Satan is trying to elevate this tension. He's trying to elevate this persecution because his desire is to stop the spread of the gospel. He doesn't want this word getting out. He doesn't want people to know about God's grace. He wants to keep you under the law. He wants to keep you bound. And instead, it continues to spread. And Satan keeps pushing up. He keeps trying to elevate the tension. He keeps trying to stop that battle. And he sends more forces in. And finally, he gets them elevated. He finally gets Stephen stoned. And he says, all right, that's going to stop them. They're going to do this. And he gets Saul and the church and the Sanhedrin. He gets them to start persecuting the church. And you see, Satan is trying to stop the spread of God's love. He doesn't want people to know about it. Satan wants to keep you in bondage. And instead, what happened? What happened? And look at verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Remind you of a verse? Remind you of a verse? Romans 8:28. What does it say? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28, guys. And we see that at work here, that very principle, that Satan, who has brought this destruction into the church, who has caused the death of this innocent man, Satan, who now is using Saul as his tool to bring persecution of the church, to throw innocent men and women into prison, to take away their possessions, to cause this havoc. It says that Saul was doing all these things, and Satan was trying to stop the spread of the church. But what happened? Instead, it says, those who had been scattered. That word scattered is interesting. It's kind of like that word. You know how a farmer would take the seed in his hand and scatter it in the field, throw it out, let it go, watch the wind take it. The other day I was planting my garden. This was back in Barstow. And I was planting my garden, and I had a package of lettuce seeds, okay? And I hadn't had any luck growing my lettuce. I just couldn't get it to grow, whatever I did. The year before, but I was trying, this is a new year, and I was trying again to get that lettuce to grow. And so I had gotten some lettuce seeds, and I planted them where I wanted them to be, okay? And I had tilled that ground, I'd added all the fertilizer and everything. I thought, they better grow this time. This wasn't my thinking. And I planted them again, and I was going to see them grow. And so I went in the house, and a dust thing came around. Took up the package of seeds, and they got, I go out there, and I look down, and there it is, and the seeds are all gone, okay? I mean, I got some of them planted where I want them. So I go, oh, man, well, okay. So, you know, seeds are cheap, so it's not a big thing. But I'm just thinking, what a mess. Okay. So I go on with my gardening, and I start watering, and I'm doing the things. Next thing I know, I got plants growing up in all sorts of strange places. I go, what are these? Lettuce that I planted isn't doing anything. The seeds are just dying. Okay, but I got all this lettuce growing up everywhere else. Okay, it took me a while to realize it was the lettuce, but that's what it was. And that's what happened. Satan meant to destroy the church. Satan meant to stop the people from experiencing the love of God. But what happened was, in Satan's activity, the seeds got scattered, spread out all over. And the word of God continued to spread. This is a strange passage. You sit there and you look at it and you say, well, what does this have to do with my life? How does this tell me how I'm supposed to live today? What I want you to understand is this was a tragedy when Satan took the life of Stephen. It was a tragedy when Satan used Saul to begin persecuting the church, and people were arrested and thrown in prison. It was a tragedy. It was tough. And I want you to understand, every one of us here experiences tragedies in our lives in some form or fashion. I can't tell you how many people I know right now who someone in their family and their household is suffering. How many people are struggling with illnesses, with failing bodies, experiencing a death of a loved one. Somebody's gone through that or going through it. And I want you to understand, God's faithful. He has a plan in your life. He has a plan for the church. He's going to accomplish that plan, even though Satan brings all his forces and everything that he has against you. God is going to work, and God is going to bring redemption. God's plan, He wants you to know His grace. He wants you to know that love. The question you have to decide is, are you going to allow that? Are you going to saddle up next to those who would lead you astray? Are you going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Are you going to come and sit with the sinners? Or are you going to find your delight here in the Word of God? Are you going to allow God to speak to you? Folks, in the midst of your crisis, it's easy to walk away. It's easy to get discouraged. And I'm telling you, here's where your delight needs to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together today. I ask God that you might speak to each of our hearts and allow this message to go deep. Help us each to understand the work that you want to do within our lives in the midst of our very own circumstances. And Father, help us that just as the early disciples, although the circumstances changed and took them out of their area, out of where they were comfortable, Father, you used it for your powerful. You used it in a powerful way to bring the gospel message to more and more people, as we will see. I pray, God, that we might join them and continue to spread, to scatter the gospel message. It's in Christ's name.